I'd like now to welcome poet Carl Gartung. His new book is called Now That Memory Has Become So Important, and he will be speaking today at Garcia Street Books here in Santa Fe at a book launch and celebration at 5 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So let's talk for a moment about the title, Now That Memory Has Become So Important. This is related to the fact that the place where you were born and raised no longer has anybody from your family, you, or any living relatives? Is that what it's about?
It doesn't have any immediate family. I have cousins that live there. My parents both grew up there, and they're both buried there, but they're all gone. The title is meant somewhat ironically, you know. It's meant entirely seriously, but at the same time, memory, you know, is doubtful as to its importance. So it's meant doubly.
Right, right. Tell us about this place in Kansas where you're from.
Well, I grew up in Liberal, Kansas, which I like to say is a place in a contradiction. It was kind of a natural gas boom town during the 50s, and before that, you remember the Dust Bowl photograph of the guy walking across the yard through a sand drift with his two kids? Well, that's where I grew up, more or less. My family were all wheat farmers and moved around looking for natural gas to be on top of and stuff. All the kind of foolish things that people do.
How does Kansas, do you think, play into your poetry?
Oh, I can't very well escape it. The book is laid out kind of like a field, you know, takes a photograph actually from Wisconsin, but then works it like a field, you know, between sections. So I really can't get away from the agriculture, you know, wheat.
You use a device which I've never seen before, which is you have a lot of poems that are in two columns that kind of meet in the middle. Are you trying to get the readers to read them both down and across?
Yeah, it really doesn't. I like for people to enter a poem like from any direction that strikes their eye, and then I like for them to try to puzzle through it. So in those what I call split poems, they work out. They're kind of a dialogue in nature, and also something like film credits, which are also dialogues. You know, where you have a person and then the person they're playing, and there's a what happens in between them is what drives the thing. And so I like that. I like the idea that the meaning of the poem comes down that blank spot in the middle instead of through the words directly.
Yeah, it was interesting because what I found was that for a lot of them, if you read them down in two columns, you can get a sense of continuity, but you don't get the whole poem.
No. And there's a continuity that goes both ways. A lot of times I'm doing syllabic structures. I count syllables, and I'm trying to pay attention to the sound of it all the time. And then it's when I was a kid, I liked to read books straight across instead of reading. I would read right across the gutter of the book and see if I could keep both pages in my head at the same time.
Oh my goodness!
And well, it was just a game.
Yeah.
But then I like the way it works in poetry. You know, because it makes the meaning more ambiguous, but deeper in some ways.
It makes it probably a little complicated if you're reading aloud.
I usually read them only one way, although a shorter one I might read two or three different ways to give an idea of the possibilities of it.
Would you like to read one or two of your poems right now?
Sure. I could read one of those. It's kind of the first poem, the poetic introduction to the book. The other thing I do is I look up words in dictionaries. If I have an idea I'm working on and want to understand better, I often use language that I find in OED or in Webster's or whatever, or in an encyclopedia. And so in this case, I was curious. I thought I would find garden in the definition of serenity, and I didn't. So anyway, words fail me. I was looking for a garden in serenity, a landscape of words, how we achieve moments, attention, any way you remain place open. This is specific, both place and time, words, these landscapes, places specific to light, time, measured moments accumulated, we seek. Words measure it, measure in the sense of music the poem. We seek entry through words most intimate. Phallus, insight, fails us. Accumulation of measures made of word, moment, undirected. That this garden, what would, can be entered from many directions, be revealed in each walk here, unimagined by gardener.
We're talking to Carl Gartung, and he's reading from his book, Now That Memory Has Become So Important. For people who are reading poems like yours, I think you have to kind of give up a certain kind of understanding, a certain kind of linear understanding of what they mean, mm-hmm. and just kind of give yourself to it and see what happens. And if you read it repeatedly, different things happen.
Right, each time. But, I don't only write that way, but the great Wisconsin poet Laureen Niedeker talked about how all poems, if they were good, are circular in nature, and I really believe that.
What does that mean?
Circular in the sense that thought doubles back on itself or grows, you know, circularly and shoots things off. So everything relates to everything, she said. And I like to write poems that work that way.
You have some very short poems, too, in the book.
Right. I've got a baseball poem.
Let's hear it.
A true experience. Ready? Be alive. You'll want to know what raised that knot between your eyes and how it got there.
Now, that's a baseball poem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would we have known that if you hadn't told us?
I don't know. You might have if you'd ever put your glove up to catch a ball and had the ball hit you in the forehead.
Ah, that knot.
That knot. But it could be another knot, too.
Right. I thought it was a knot of consternation when I read it.
Yeah, it could be that, too. We had a third baseman in Milwaukee named Randy Reddy, who was supposed to be the next big player, you know, and would regularly throw the ball into the stands and did some kind of comical things in the field.
Right.
So I had a satirical moment.
You have some work in this book about the loss of a newborn child.
Yes, correct.
Do you want to read from that?
Yeah, I could read. There's a straightforward poem of the beginning of the pregnancy. Anne became pregnant, and I thought, well, I'll write that, you know. And then when things didn't work out, I thought I might write out of it, you know, which, of course, didn't really work. But at any rate, some of the poetry I like. Fantastic. It was fantastic. Pregnant, her description. A fish nibbling at bait, the barest tug on the line. And this is one of the first poems that I wrote using the dictionary. I wanted to get a definition of, I think it works pretty well. Not a single word in here was a word that I actually sat down and wrote without copying, you know what I mean? But a picture which does still not show movement, born, brought to life to hush, he was still born. Silence put to rest continuously, pacify, more, brought to life, a son was born in a greater degree, still water in a pond. A born singer, silent by actual birth, or as if still, I intend to go, not noisy, notwithstanding is a still small voice by nature. Nevertheless, except in the sense of receiving, as if by birth, placid, boisterous, clamorous, the winds were still, her son was born. Now that was written the same way that the split poems are written, but it's not laid out that way,
right.
Because I settled kind of on an order. You know, and it turns out I must have been picking up on a poem I'd read a long time ago from an anonymous poem from way back when, a kind of an elegy. But somebody pointed that out to me, Stephanie Strickland. So.
Yeah, we've got time for one or two more poems.
Okay. Well, this is another spring poem. What is that green shadow on the hill? Must be the new blades of spring, despite our humbug, free of it. The birds return, it is the cardinal song. another spring poem. Small is not petty, little distances. The woods are, we say the forest is, alive with them. One to another, the small songs. And then here's one kind of on the state of poetry today, or the state of poets today. I know poets hired to write computer manuals, precisely, so people can understand and make use of them.
So, very interesting.
Well,
you know. Is that true?
Yeah, actually, it is true. Quite a famous poet, Ron Silman, who runs a blog called Silman's Blog that everybody refers to, and who's a language poet.
And who writes computer manuals.
Yeah.
So most poets have a day job.
Right.
What about you?
I drive a truck. Well, I have two day jobs. We my wife and I run a bookstore called Wool and Pattern Book Center in Milwaukee, over 30 years now, and we've sponsored about 1,000 readings over that time.
So one of the holdout independent bookstores,
right,
of which we have several here in Santa Fe as well.
Right, and I'm really happy to be reading at an independent bookstore. It feels like home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're a little bit of a specialty store. We have about 30,000 titles of poetry, and we have an art gallery and a music series and then the poetry reading and workshops. And we do a lot of work with neighborhood kids, art and poetry. So we've been fortunate to be able to do that. And then I have my other day job is I drive a truck for UPS, either a straight truck or a tractor trailer. And I'm a kind of a union steward there. That's how I keep going.
Carl Gartung's new book of poetry is called Now That Memory Has Become So Important. And once again, he will be speaking today at 5 o'clock at Garcia Street Books here in Santa Fe. You can find them on the web at garciastreetbooks.com. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org and podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz with John Greenspan features an interview with jazz vocalist Julia Dollison discussing her project of the music of Maria Schneider. Happy Tax Day. We will see you tomorrow. We'll be talking about animals, and Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts. Thank you.